Hello everyone, welcome to our brand new podcast, Deep Talk. This is a podcast where we explore the forgotten stories of the past. And on the occasion of Australia Day, we are going to talk about a dark chapter of Australian history, the Stolen Generation. Have you ever heard about it before? My name is Emma Castor and I am your host today. You will know everything about it. For that, let me introduce you to the guest we are welcoming today, Shane Zubir.
Yeah.
And she's the granddaughter of a former victim of the Stolen Generation and Marie Louvonté.
Hey.
Who will present us movies, books and visits about the Stolen Generation. You must know if you enjoyed this podcast and especially if you want to discover this subject extensively. So the Stolen Generation refers to a period in Australia history where Aboriginal children were removed from their families through government policies. And this happened from the mid-19th century to the 70s. In 1860, Victoria became the first state to pass laws authorizing Aboriginal children to be removed from their parents. And similar policies were later adopted by other states and territories, and also by the federal government when it was established in the 20th century. So, for about a century, thousands of Aboriginal children were systematically taken from their families, communities and culture. Many never returned. These children are known as the Stolen Generation survivors or Stolen children. These children were taken by the police from their homes on their way to or from school, and they were also placed in institutions, adopted or fostered by non-Indigenous people and often subjected to abuse. The children were denied all access to their culture. They were unable to use their dialect, and the directors of institutions forced them to speak only in English. If they didn't, they risked being inflicted degrading punishment, such as having to wash their mouth with soap. This massive and arbitrary kidnapping had disastrous consequences for the children who were victims, and many of them have hinted at trouble finding their place. On the one hand, a white society that rejects them, and on the other, an indigenous society into which they cannot integrate, not having grown up with its social codes. However, some have still managed to find their place in society, even if they are far from the majority. So, following a national survey, the 1997 Bringing Them Home report recognizes the violation of the rights of Aboriginal children by advocating support measures. In addition, this report is asking Australia to make a national apology, which Prime Minister Kevin Rudd did 10 years later in 2008. Before that, Parliament had adopted a motion in 1999 to express its deep and sincere regret about the Aboriginal children who were taken away from their parents. Finally, in 2007, Bruce Trevorrow was the first child of the Stolen Generation to obtain financial compensation from a court. So, for the last till now, we still don't know how many Aboriginal children the authorities have removed from their homes, but it's a number ranging from 20,000 to 25,000 people. And as a result, the Stolen Generation still denounce institutional racism and try to draw attention to the mental health problems of the victims. After a focus and a deep explanation of what is the Stolen Generation, let's welcome Shane Zubir, the granddaughter of a victim of the Stolen Generation. Hello, Shane. I am so glad that you are here. How are you?
Hello, Emma. I'm doing well, and I'm so happy to be here to share the history of my family, in particular, my grandmother's story.
Great. You can start when you feel ready.
Thank you. Well, I guess I am. My grandmother, Emily, did not often talk about her childhood for years. It was a sensitive subject in our family. But one day, while I was asking her questions about her past, she told me a heartbreaking story.
Oh.
She was barely 6 years old when they came for her. Men in uniform hovered in the community, saying they had to take care of the children. Her mother screamed, clung to her with all her strength. but they snatched her from her arms. That was the last time she saw her family. She was taken far away to her home, where she was forbidden to speak her language, to pronounce her own Aboriginal name, and had to change it from Little A to Emily. She was also told that she had to forget who she was, that she had to become a good Australian. She was placed in a white family where she was treated as a servant more than a child. It was only after decades that she found few members of her biological family, but nothing could give her back the show's lost years. Despite everything, she found the strength to rebuild her identity and to transmit to us what she could of her culture. Today, my goal by sharing her story is to make sure that we never forget what happened. May the pain of stolen generation be recognized, and may a child never again be torn from his family because of his identity.
Thank you so much, Shane, for sharing with us this moving testimony. Now let's hear our other guest, Marie-Lou Ponté, who will present to you many books, movies, and even music about the stolen generation if you want to learn more things about it. Hello, Marie-Lou, how are you?
Hello, Emma. Thank you so much for having me. I am fine. If you, our auditors, are interested in the topic we're discussing today, you must continue listening to this podcast. For a cinema fans, I think you will like the movies I have chosen. The movie is The Mogai. It's a 2024 Australian horror film written and directed by John Bell, based on his 2020 short film of the same name. The film stars are Cherry Zeben and Maine Wyatt. The story is about a young Aboriginal mother who believes that her child is possessed and includes Indigenous Australian themes related to the stolen generation. Then, for our book lovers, you must read Who I Am, The Diary of Mary Talence, Sydney, 1937, by Anita Hay. It is a historical fiction novel written in a diary format as part of the My Australian Story series. Mary was taken from a family as a baby and raised in a government-run institution. At 10 years old, she is placed with a white foster family in Sydney, though she is given an education and a seemingly better lifestyle. Mary struggles with her identity and a deep sense of loss. She faces racism and exclusion, feeling disconnected from both her Aboriginal roots and the white society she is forced to be into. Throughout her diary, she questions who she really is and longs to reconnect with her birth family and culture. And finally, if you are more into music, I suggest you to listen to the song made by Archie Roach in 1990 called Took the Children Away. It was the first song to receive a prestigious Australian Human Rights Award. Its impact was immediate, shining a stark light on Australia's shameful past practices of removing children from their families.
Well, thank you so much, you two, for sharing your story and your recommendation about the stolen generation with us. It was a pleasure to have you both today for this special episode, and I hope to meet you in the future for maybe another episode. It was Deep Talk. Hope you enjoyed, and see you next Thursday for a new episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.